Warning: the following podcast, which contains strong language and mature content, is unsuitable for children or for the faint of heart. The subject matter discussed will be frightening and graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
When you want to hear about the paranormal, you get the Spooked Girls. True crime that makes you hypothermal with the three Spooked Girls. Stabby snippets will give you dreams. Tara and Jessica will make you ask great, along with the Spooked Girls. Bring on the slaughter. We on that haunted ground. The three Spooked Girls.
Hey there, Spooksters, and welcome back to another episode here on Three Spooked Girls. My name is Jessica, and as always, I'm joined by my favorite gal pal, Tara.
Hey, Spooksters.
We are doing our final installment today of The Way Down. This episode is called The Way Forward. It's kind of an epic episode. I remember it being longer, but it wasn't that long.
No, it was kind of like a quick wrap up pretty much. Because like, what's crazy is they said a lot of stuff at the end that they said in the last episode too. So I was like having weird deja vu. Plus I watched it more than once, but I was just like, what the fuck?
So let's just jump right in. So then we can put Gwen to bed and her hair.
And move on to...
Yes. Though I think one of us needs to watch at least one episode left. I'm thinking the fifth one again and do our pigeon thing.
Oh my God.
So that we can show them what we do with pigeons and TV shows. It's really hilarious, guys. Join the Facebook group. You'll see. Anyway, so basically this is diving in and they're talking about how at this point in time, they have to start controlling the narrative of what's happening in the church because, you know, Gwen has died. Elizabeth, in all intents and purposes, has taken over, but it's not been like official. And there's just kind of like some stuff happening. And they talk about like how the church has got to like come up with an answer or something along those lines. Another really interesting thing is you get to see a lot of footage from their reality show.
Oh my God.
Because if you remember back to like episode one or two, was it one or two? One of those.
I don't know, but a previous episode.
Yeah, we talked about the fact that like Joe and Gwen were doing a reality show.
What was it? The Way Down South?
Yeah.
Yikes.
It was terrible. Though I was cracking up when Joe Laura was doing the thing.
Yeah.
Like they were like, don't look directly into the camera. And then he like broke fourth wall and was just like, is this good for you? And I was like, that's kind of funny. And it's interesting because that way you got clips of things that Gwen was saying. A lot of these things have just been like depositions and things, but this having access to this reality TV, it's more like you get to see what Gwen says. And one of the things I thought was interesting is they had asked her about the negativity of people and she said she's better for it. And it's like, oh yeah, because the more we know that the more controversial you are, the more people talk about you and the more that people talk about you, it's like that old saying, like there's no such thing as bad press.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Also, they interview Elizabeth and she basically states that all she ever wants to do is emulate her mother. She just wants to be mama.
We know. We know.
Just I'm really glad she hasn't poofed her hair.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's a poof.
She has like normal hair. It's just straight.
It's very straight. She's very straight. Yeah. She has really pretty hair. I will say that. Like
mm-hmm.
Another little tidbit that fucking Gwen says in the her reality show. She's talking about how women should let men be men.
Oh
and
my
how
God.
How fun it is to be submissive.
Puke.
And I wrote, ew, no, ma'am. Like, no. Like, no. I'm sorry. Like, this concept that the man is the head of the household.
It's not the 50s anymore.
Right. It made sense when women didn't work. And now it's like, in this economy, like, women have to work. Like,
everybody works.
Everybody works. Right? So it can't just be like, you know, you can't have head of household rules if you're equals.
No.
And I want to say this. I get it. There are women out there who they love being submissive to their husbands and that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as there's no like violence happening,
as long as there's all consent, right, and it's a happy, safe place,
happy, harmonious, like people are health, mentally healthy, that's fine.
Yeah.
Do you, boo boo?
Yeah, it's just not for me.
It's not for me.
No.
No. I also love they were talking, one of the things that Gwen says is you fall in love with what you focus on. And they had a member of the church talking about like her husband. And she's like, I hated his voice. But Gwen said to focus on it. And now I just love it and can't stop talking to him. And I'm like,
bitch, you're full of shit.
You are full of shit. Basically, Gwen told you to love your husband and you want Gwen's approval so much that you'll love your husband's voice. And then I really wanted to hear his voice.
He didn't even talk.
Like, because what if it was really annoying? I wanted to see her point on this. Like,
yeah.
Was it because she just hated the man?
Probably. They like that arranged marriage situation, so.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. For sure. Autumn Williams is back in this episode. And I just love that she was like, I don't understand why Gwen needed a reality show. What the fuck does she do that needs a reality show?
Oh my God, right?
She like wakes up, prays, makes coffee. Sometimes babysits her grandkids.
She needs the reach to go further to build her empire more.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole point.
And it's a fake ass church. Like, you know that if the reality show has to push your church out, it's a fake ass church. Like, I don't really like particularly like Joel Osteen, but at least he's not out there with a reality show.
This is true.
I mean, unless you call what he does on Sundays a reality show.
No, that's just like a stream.
Yeah. And the whole thing about Gwen in the church is that she had to like maintain proper image. It's why she wanted everyone to be pencil thin, because if you have a thin church that's all pretty, there's no imperfections, you're gonna have an amazing brochure. So after the documentary comes out, like episode 4 and 5 is after the documentary came out, and the church did kind of clap back at the documentary, and they made all these like really kind of like, Remnant Fellowship is amazing. I've never been fat shamed. And it's like a woman who is like an average sized person. She's a little taller. She's of color. And they're like, let's put her front and center and tell like that she hasn't. And I'm like, and then it's like, it flashes to someone else. And it's like, it was like back to Megan, who had been on the previous episode. And she's like, nah, they totally did. One of the themes that keeps coming up throughout this episode is you would think that if they have this trauma, people are leaving and they're saying like, I have all this trauma, that you wouldn't go, oh my God, you're a fucking liar. You go, what have we done that maybe gave this perspective?
Right.
Right? Like, I would just fire Ted Anjay.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Goodbye.
Another one of my favorite people they interviewed is Beck. Helen Bird. Tara like literally messaged me today and was like, I love her. It's just really interesting that it's like, she's like, I watched the video and she's like, it's the goddamn remix. I'm like, tell it how it is, Helen, because this church is like, here are these videos and all this shit. And it's just like, no, it's not real. And I did think one of the things that people were saying is like, Megan pointed out that the internet came after a lot of these people who left and were like, oh, they were in a cult. How could they be so gullible? Are they dumb? They're not.
No.
The point that's made is people get into these situations because they're at a time in their life where they're really vulnerable and someone is nice to them. And I know that seems really like simple, but sometimes that's all it takes, is like you're struggling in life and someone goes, hey, come sit with me at church, or let's go to lunch and talk.
Well, and the other thing too is they don't just out the gate start acting like a cult and operating like a cult.
Right.
They usually start with good intentions. Huge example is fucking Jonestown. People said he had great messages and then he went fucking psycho and killed everybody. It's because of the money and the power and everything that comes from that.
And the narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
I think when someone has a narcissistic personality and they're thrust into a godlike setting.
Yeah, those traits will like flourish and then it becomes dangerous.
Oh, for sure. Now we're going to meet some new people in the documentary. The first woman we're going to meet, her name is Jacoby. She joined with her mom when she was 14 years old. And what's really pissed me off about that situation is like, she was so into the church. She got a scholarship to go to an Ivy League school. And basically she was so brainwashed into this church, she gave it up to go to a small college. So she was in Nashville. And then we meet Laura. Laura is important because Laura is actually her hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, she never got paid. Zero monies to do her hair. She's the one who said there's no hair piece. It's just a lot of teasing. And we meet her mom as well. Her mom's name is Mindy Munoz. And Mindy, they actually met when Mindy was in Colorado. They moved to Tennessee because Gwen was like, oh my God, you could turn the way down. You could translate it and turn it into Spanish. And one of the really fucked up things about Mindy's case is when she moved from Colorado to Tennessee, and this was like in the night, like the early 2000s-ish time, she was making like $24 an hour at her job. And she uproots her life and she moves and she goes to work for Gwen. She gets her first paycheck. Mind you, they told her they would match her paycheck. It was $8 an hour.
Oh my fucking God.
That's like 2/3 of her paycheck just gone. Ugh. And I was like, that's so fucked up. And when she goes to Gwen and she's like, hey, there's been an issue with my pay. Like, Gwen basically told her that she needed to humble herself and that's how much money she was going to get. And she was never going to get a raise. How are you expecting someone to like live on $8 an hour?
Especially someone who has a kid.
Right. And when she would work, they would schedule her also to work part of her shifts were like during church services. And they wouldn't pay her during church services because that was considered volunteer work. We meet a woman by the name of Gina Hartley. And Gina, just you could tell, like she was probably one of those women who came in for the weight loss. And she was thriving at it. And then she hit some roadblocks. And then people were just mean to her. And she was really worried. She said she was really worried about doing this, like going on the documentary because of the fact that there were people in her life who didn't know that she ever did this. And she was afraid of like going on and like basically outing herself. And then we have one more person we get introduced to. His name is Stephen Darling. And Stephen is an openly gay man. But apparently he wasn't openly gay at church at that point in time.
Right.
So he said that everyone loved him and he got really close with Gwen and like Ted and like the inner circle. So he was feeling really vulnerable and very like, I can tell these people that I'm gay. He sits Gwen down and he's like, Gwen, I got to talk to you. I'm gay. And I guess her face just like fell and she just like looked shocked. And then she just stood up and walked out. And then our boy Ted, it gets worse, guys. Our boy Ted is there and is like, we completely understand, like, you know, probably like sin, blah, 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 blah. We've had four people in the church who we've changed. And Stephen is like, I'm not changing. This is who I am. I'm gay. I'm here. Deal with it. Stephen said that they argued for like an hour. And then Ted was like, okay, whatever, and left. And then people, they didn't ask him to leave the church. People just stopped talking to him. Like everyone in the church stopped talking to him. So he left on his own. And this is the thing we talk about, like the shunning. It's like they just tell everyone, if you want to be in God's good grace, don't talk to Stephen. Stephen's gay. Stephen doesn't want to confess his sins and turn from his wicked ways. Yes. Appropriate eye roll, Tara. That was good. But that's literally how it was. And so it was a lot of like really bad. The way they treated people was really terrible. I finally wrote that one chick's name down. Oh. The short haired girl. Her name is Rachel. I don't know if that was the name I said her name was. I think I said Amy.
I don't remember at this point, but I'm pretty sure you said you didn't write it down. So it's okay.
I did it this time. So when Rachel and her husband, Ryan, were in the church and Rachel decided that she wanted out, this led to a divorce. Within 6 weeks of Ryan and Rachel being divorced, he was engaged. He was engaged to their fucking babysitter.
Ugh.
How it works in this church, and Helen tells it the best. Oh my God.
Oh my God, yeah, it's my favorite part.
Helen. So basically how it works, Helen leaves the church first, and her husband continues to go to church with the kids. Helen's like, that's fine, go to church. She's like, this is just not for me. I don't feel this way. Somebody, some petty ass bitch in that fucking church, sends her a photo of her husband sitting next to another woman, because what they would do is they'd get a woman who they think is compatible with him, set them down to help, quote unquote, with the kids. And Helen gets this picture and Helen is like, oh, fuck no. Try me, bitch. And her husband gets home and she tells him, and I wrote down, I will slap the piss out of you and I will slap the piss out of whoever's in that pew. And that's on God. He made the decision not to go back to Remnant Life or Remnant Fellowship, which I was like,
good for him.
Mr. Bird, you made a great decision. Unlike Ryan, who was like, his wife's like, I want to leave. But again, we've talked about this. It doesn't make sense for a man to want to leave this church, especially if you're like wanting that 50s fucking lifestyle, because it just doesn't make sense. At this point in the time, we transition to talking about the Walters children. If you remember in the last episode, a husband and a wife, Jessica and her husband, passed away because they were in the plane. A family, Dennis family, I think it's pronounced, Patrick and Amy, took them in, which I was like, that's nice. Someone in the church took them in. I'm thinking like, do they not have family? No, Jessica has a mom who was kind of involved in her life, like hadn't been involved, but suddenly was back involved in the kids' life. But according to their will, the kids were left to the church to decide what to do with.
Is that a thing?
In this church, it's highly recommended.
No. Oh, no. I know it is with them, but like in your experiences, was that a thing?
No.
Because I was like, damn, what the actual fuck? But I was like, I'm going to ask Jess and just make sure, like, I'm on the right thought for this.
When my mom got really sick, she had like a brain and tumor aneurysm, anything. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I was 2.5, 3, like so. Mm-hmm. Don't remember. There was a family in our church who took my older brother and I in.
Well, that's different.
That's different. Like, that's why at first when I was like, oh, they have them, that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. like, maybe they're trying to track down family. Maybe like they were already, because I thought about this, like, because the mother and father were on a plane, maybe the kids were already staying with them.
Uh-huh.
When it happened, so they're like, okay, let's just like,
yeah, but no,
but no. In their will, it basically said the church can decide, and Patrick is a high ranking member of this church, and so is Amy, and they just took them, and they have 2 kids of their own, so now they have these 5 kids, and they just took them. And like 3 days after the plane crash, they were like giving paperwork to Jessica's mom and be like, sign this, sign over your any claims to the kids. And I would be distraught, like, if I had lost my daughter,
right? What the fuck?
I might not understand what I'm signing. And they were like, they came over that day and they were like, where the fuck is the will? We need the will. And they found it, and because it backed up what they were saying, is that they get to make the decision. So basically, it probably came down to Elizabeth. They probably asked Elizabeth, what do you want to do with the Walters kids? And she's like, let Patrick and Amy have them. So a lot of this shit is money, right? We heard in an earlier episode that Gwen sees kids as an investment, and she does mean the financial investment. Like, look at Jacoby. Like, she grew up in the church. She gave money to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And she stayed long after she had graduated. We know that Gwen at one point in time had at least $23 million because her and her husband split in 2018, split $20 million in properties.
Mm-hmm. And then she paid him out $3
million? $3
million. Yeah.
So he got at least $13 million out of that shit.
I'm glad he got something.
Right. And I'm sure there was more money. And the one of the things she also did, I don't know if Joe taught her this or what, but like, she started putting things in trusts. So that way, Ashlawn is literally in a trust that's like the street name. And all her properties are in those type of things. And when they're in those situations, when they're in a trust, you don't really know who the owner is. You might think it's Gwen Shamblin, Laura, but it could be Elizabeth. It could be Michael. It could be any member of the church. And it was funny because they started, at this point, they were talking about like, how Gwen, you know, all these people are living in like shared housing together to go to this church, and Gwen's living in like a mansion and has a $4 million beach house in Florida, drives like a Porsche and like a Mercedes and has all these nice things. And they were basically talking about how like in the South, preachers are basically treated as celebrities,
mm-hmm.
which is true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like back in the day, like you would go and like serve them your best food. And this is kind of the same thing. They were like, give us your money. Give us the most of your money type shit. An interesting fact is Gwen never updated her will. And I got so excited for like 2 seconds because I was like, same. Does that mean David gets all this shit because it's in his or her will? No, because in the state of Tennessee, as soon as their divorce was final, their divorce supersedes any like will. Unless she specifically put in there, like, to my ex-husband, David Shamblin. So Elizabeth and Michael get 100% of everything. And guess how much Remnant Fellowship gets? Goose. 0. None. And she basically said that, like, she gave the property to the church, like, that it's on. And that's all that the church ever needed. I was like, maybe that $20 million you have, that would probably be helpful as well. The other thing that Gwen does, oh my God. So Gwen believes in curses.
Yeah.
And basically, like, if you go to leave the church, she tells you that you're going to get a curse upon you, which broke my heart when Jacoby was telling the story. Like, when she finally decided that she was going to leave the church, she went and they had one more counseling session with Ted and Gwen. Gwen was like, you're going to get a curse on your life. Your life is going to suck if you leave church. And then she miscarried like a week later. And so in her mind, she's like, I'm lost my baby because I left the church.
Broke my heart.
She didn't go back, but like, I know, I was like, oh no, you poor little brainwashed, wonderful human.
I know. And you know what kind of is like the bittersweet like thing about that? You can tell that she's healed from that train of thought. That made me really happy to see.
Well, and she points out that she's gotten professional help.
Oh yeah. How can you not?
I think everyone should get professional help, but like if you're leaving a cult, you should definitely, you need to seek a specialist.
Yeah, someone who can deal with that trauma. I guess it just depends because I feel like some places I've been to, like, definitely screened to make sure where to put you a lot better than other places. So I hope she Well, it seems like she did find the right match for herself, so that makes me glad.
Also, Gwen puts the curse of fatness back on you. If you leave the church, you will get fat again, is Gwen's words, not mine.
Oh, boy.
Basically, Ted anger on Jay, which is really funny because Gina, who was talking about him, she calls him Ted on Jay, and I was like, it's Ted anger, Gina. He's angry, his anger. But apparently he told her, you're not going to heaven because you're too fat. Can you imagine saying that to a person?
How fucking awful. Like, what? How is that okay? How? I don't get it.
And there's not a single scripture verse that talks about, like, being thin versus fat.
No, that doesn't fucking equate if you're a good person or not. Like, that's what I fucking hate about this place so much.
Right. There's a lot of skinny people out there who do horrible things to other people.
Right.
There's a lot of fat people out there who do wonderful things for people. And I say fat, exactly. And I hate saying it, but like, we're talking about weight. And so it's kind of it's a word you kind of have to use. It shouldn't matter what your meat sack looks like.
No.
It should matter about the contents of your heart. And if you're a nice, good human being, it shouldn't matter.
Exactly. Exactly.
So Laura comes back and she's talking and they basically told her, like, you need to lose like 4 pounds a week, right?
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And so then they put her on a restrictive diet. Now, when I tell you they put her on a restrictive diet, like, holy fucking shit. We're talking, she had 10 bites of food a day.
When she said that, I was like, holy fuck.
So it's basically like, oof. One meal, you get 4 bites and the rest you get 3 bites.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm gonna eat a whole slice of pizza in one bite. Like, I would teach myself. I only get 10 bites.
Yeah, but you know, they fucking like probably portioned those bites and shit.
Right. When she wasn't losing the weight, she'd have to quote unquote fast, which is basically starving herself. And like the only thing they would give her for like, because they couldn't just be like, don't consume anything. So she would consume like a tiny bit of broth. After she left the church, she got pregnant and she was having problems and she went in and they did a biopsy of her kidneys and her kidneys had holes in them. And they're like, what the hell? And she's like, they're like, were you anorexic or bulimic? And she's like, no, but I did starve myself because of this. And what she was saying is the doctors told her it takes between like 2 and 5 years to reset your body after like episodes like this. And that's why you gain weight back. I mean, statistics are on the side of if you stop dieting, you will gain weight back. Unless you like learn how to do a maintenance lifestyle, you will gain at least some of the weight back. So morbid. Like, she was pressured into losing weight because that would make her close to God, and it ate her kidneys, which could kill her. And we talked about in like other episodes where like members of this church were like anorexic and struggling and almost dying, and the church is like, you have to be thin. Who the fuck cares if you're dying? Because you know what they'll think? They'd say, at least she's gonna go to heaven because she was thin.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was just thinking.
Fuck the fact that you could like lose your teeth,
just that you could fucking die,
a road through your esophagus. Yeah, all that shit.
Literally.
Jacoby starts talking about like the way things were at church, like, and not just at church, but like in the other aspects of it. She was like, there were parties and weddings and they were beautiful and she helped with those. And she was like, we couldn't eat, but we could drink. And I was like, oh, they Chelsea Handler died of that. Know anything about Chelsea Handler? She drinks on a vacation, not eat. And she, like, you can see that she's like, sometimes I feel guilty because I miss it. Well, yeah, because there were good times in it. It's like being in a toxic relationship. Even when you're like, this person was pure trash, most of the time, there's still good times in there, especially because she joined when she was so young. And, you know, I'm sure she did have really good times in there. She talks about suicide and she talks about the fact that she made a couple attempts. At first, I was like, maybe they don't know these kids are trying to like unalive themselves.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, they are aware because she's like, I don't understand how they know this and they don't change who they are. And right. Kids are trying to kill themselves. Then they flash forward to November of 2021. So Elizabeth has been in isolation. She's calling in services. She's not attending them in person. And, you know, she's in this one service. She's acknowledging that they haven't seen her. She's like, people are asking, like, have I given up? Am I done? Have I thrown in the towel? And she's like, no, I haven't. I don't, like, honestly, I don't blame Elizabeth for needing to step back.
Yeah.
She lost her mom and her husband in one incident.
And her best friend.
And I'm sure she was close with every single person on that plane. She lost her stepdad. She lost, you know, all of these people. And I don't think she ever properly healed from losing her child. I think she just kind of like needed to break. And I think one of the things is in cults where you're not allowed to like have that emotion of like being distraught.
Yeah.
She had to be this pillar. And honestly, I don't know how she's doing. And I honestly, like, I say this with all sincerity, is like, I hope she's okay. I know she's not a great person.
Yeah, for sure.
Because of how she makes other people feel. But like, I hope she gets help.
Yeah. You have to think, like, she's the one of the most brainwashed out of all of them because she was literally groomed to be Gwen Jr.
Right.
So there is that.
She was the hope of the future of the church.
So it's complicated for sure.
For sure. After Gwen passes away, Michael actually ends up filing for divorce and leaving his wife because, as we've known, he's not happy. His mom forced him into that marriage and he wasn't happy and she was gone and he was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And kind of what I can see is that he's no longer involved with the church,
mm-hmm.
which I, you know, I would love to see where Michael Shamblin is now. Like,
yeah,
where is he? Like, is he living his life thriving? Like, as much as like, I don't like these people because they're like terrible to other people or have been terrible. I really hope that they like get out of this brainwashing and they become better people. Because I think when you come on the other side of this type of trauma, you can be better for other people. Be like, look, I understand that, you know, the world is terrible because I was terrible. Oh my God, now I'm feeling Christian brainwashed because I'm like, this is literally what they used to tell us to do. Turn your trauma into your testimony. The one thing that at the end of this that they kind of talk about is it seeming like because Gwen passed and she's not there to like yell at people anymore and tell them that they're terrible, other people are finding their voices. And it does seem like people are leaving the church. Casey and Glenn, we've talked about them a lot. They weren't in this episode. They were just mentioned at the end. They actually did take in a person, a young woman who was trying to leave the church. So they made good on their promise that if someone out there wanted, they would help. And getting out of a cult is like a really crazy thing. Like, I left my church. It's not as like crazy as this church, but like there is some shunning with it. You're no longer accepted by the same people. People don't talk to you the same. When my parents were still going to that church, people treated me a little better. But then like when my parents left the church, people were like, oh, we don't have to treat you nice anymore. And you know, you're a sinner and blah, blah, blah. And so basically the end of this is that Helen wants everyone to know. This is the what I want to leave us all with. Helen wants everyone to know that even though Gwen told them that if they leave the church, their life is going to suck, be miserable. She is like, life outside of church is good. It's fantastic. She's thriving. She's like, I'm doing so much better than when I was in church. Professionally, personally, whatever. Her kids are, her husband is. So leave a cult and it'll save your life. And the only way that this cult will change is if it stops profiting the people who are in charge. And as long as people are still buying the way down, as long as people are still buying into this model, this church will stand.
Yeah, I don't really, unfortunately, foresee them going anywhere anytime soon.
It would have to be some sort of like really big, like...
like big scandal to get it shut down at this point, yeah.
Right, like Ted Anger is going to have to... have fathered an illegitimate child. But we are finally done with the fucking way down.
And we're going to move on to another cult.
Yeah, we're going to move on to another cult. And maybe Tara and I will kind of watch this again and you guys will see on the Facebook our favorite new hobby of pigeoning people.
Oh, yes. I saved those ones from Gilmore Girls. So if you guys want that, let me know. But you'll have to listen to my obnoxious reactions. I was elevated, so get over it.
I had to be like, are you reacting to the pigeon or to... the words. She's like, the words. I'm like, we've seen this before.
Yeah. And then like the fucking bird was just making me laugh. So there's this part where I'm like cracking up and I just yell fucking bird. So jump scare disclaimer. There you go.
Because guys, it's a Snapchat filter where there's a pigeon on you that goes on people's faces.
On your head.
And I just want the pigeon in Gwen's fucking giant ass hair.
That can be what you do after this.
I'm gonna Snapchat you a bunch of it. Be prepared.
I'll save them all. I'm excited.
And we will see you back on Monday because it's officially holiday season. It's almost Krampus time.
Woo!
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.